I'm listening to Get Sports Radio.
Back at you. It's episode 6. We're checking in with our 2017 AFC East primer and fired up to do it as we record just now 100 days and counting to the start of the NFL season, September 7th. It's all there for us. The Chiefs at the Patriots. And as we count down from 100 days to kickoff, a lot to get into. We'll start to get into our division primers here tonight in the latest edition of the podcast. If you're new to the podcast, thanks for listening. We'll be doing it weekly throughout the year now here at GetSport or at GetSportsInfo.com. You can check out the blog there as well, and we blog about all the things that we get into in life, including some great, obviously, football takes, but we're going to get into some other topics as we continue with our My One More Thing. Check out that there at Get Sports Info. You can also check me out on Twitter at Dan Claskins. You can now subscribe to the podcast as well. You can do that on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher out there and forward, and we're really looking forward to just guiding up all the way to the season. If you're new to the podcast, we obviously thank you. If you're new to who I am, I'm definitely looking forward to getting to know you a little bit better. I encourage you to hit me up on Twitter there at Dan Claskins. You can check out my football articles and rankings now at Pro Football Focus. Just got done there with my first article on the site for 2017, and was really looking forward to breaking down. It's the 5 potential fantasy starters with some sneaky low ADPs. And that's where it's all about. It's about finding value. That's why I love these MFL 10s and different things we're going on right now. You know, there's when you get the guys that are on the bench of ADP and suggest them as starters, obviously Khan's the list. I make a case for one of my players I actually like to boo the most as a Bengals fan, Andy Dalton. But a digger deep, Dalton. Here's a guy that has shown his promise. He's actually been a QB 12 or better in weekly performances in nearly 65% of his starts over the last 5 years. You take out the games that A.J. Green missed in each of the last two of the three seasons, and Dalton has done better. He won. I made the case for him for others. Check that out at Pro Football Focus. My rankings will be there soon. We're launching a new platform. In the meantime, you can still find them on my site at GetSportsInfo.com and, of course, at Fantasy Pros. And I just updated those, and it's always interesting when I update the rankings to see who I like more, who I like less. I go and show you the quarterbacks, running backs, receivers that fall under each of those categories. Obviously, Dalton, one of the quarterbacks I like more. Not that much more. Let's be clear. I got Dalton at 16 in the ranks. The quarterback with I really like a lot more than the expert consensus, Matthew Stafford, 7 spots higher. I got him at number 8. I'm trying to figure out why he's the expert consensus 15th quarterback at Fantasy Pros. I have no idea. We'll be talking plenty of him when we get to our NFC North primary. But check out that complete article as well there at GetSportsInfo.com. Before we get into our guest today, and we've got a great one for you, John Lobb, footballdiehards.com. You can get him on Twitter at GridironSCHO, Scal, as in scholar there, 91. We're going to talk to him about some of the AFC East stuff here in a moment, but I also want to tell you, man, it was a rough weekend. I'd be remiss if I took an opportunity to pay my respects without actually saying something here on the podcast. That for those of you that know me closely, and some of you do, obviously the Allman Brothers Band is my absolute favorite thing. I like the Allman Brothers Band more than I like football, if that tells you anything. Haven't seen him in 18 times. The whole reason I even met my wife, Kelly, started dating her was our love for the band. We toured around. I've seen him 18 times, the Allman Brothers Band, 5 more times. When Greg Allman passed this weekend, we really lost something special. The Allman Brothers music, I listened to it on some of the happiest days of my life and on some of my darkest hours pulling me through. And my daughter, Jessica, of course, named after them. So it was a long weekend, but nonetheless, we paid our respects and the liver survived. I did have about 7 hours of concerts there. But if you're not familiar with the Allman Brothers, I highly encourage you go to YouTube, Google them up, check them out. We will certainly miss that. But before we get any deeper into it, I'm going to bring the guy that's been listening to me babble here these last few minutes. I'm interested to listen to him babble a little bit about the AFC East, the gridiron scholar himself, John Lobb, joining us. And John, how we doing, man?
Oh, Dan, I'm doing great. It's so good to talk to you. I've been listening to you on SiriusXM for at least 4 years now on Saturdays and Sundays, and I've heard your podcast in the past, so it's great to jump on board with you. And I just learned some great new information. I thought I've seen Iron Maiden probably 12 times, and I thought that was a lot. So you've outdone me with the Allman Brothers.
Oh, man, I'll tell you, it is. It was hard. It was like losing a member of the family. And the cool part about music, and this is why I love it so much, is people die. Music lives forever, and the Allman Brothers certainly will in my heart, and definitely in my car as well. But you know, let's get off of the music a little bit. We're going to get into some fun topics. Obviously, the AFC East is what I brought here to talk about. A little bit later in the show, we're going to get off the beaten path with my hashtag my the number one more thing topic of the day. And today, it's best sports movies. I'm interested to pick your brain on that too, but let's get into the AFC East. You ready to talk a little bit AFC East? Because, I mean, to me, it's one of the more interesting divisions, not just in football, but fantasy this season.
Absolutely. I've been just finished my rankings for the upcoming season for the Football Diehards magazines. So I'm ready to talk about the AFC East, my friend.
All right. You mentioned Football Diehards. Obviously, you've been there for some time. We can still see your work there. I had Evan Terracciano on a few episodes back, and he was talking about the magazine. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait. When's this thing hitting the newsstands? When are we going to be able to get our hands on it?
So there's actually four magazines, but the first one should be out around July 4th, whatever that Thursday closest to that is. And that's, I just did the mock draft or the actual league draft for Pro Football Forecast last week with Bob Harris, and we had a lot of other great people in that draft. But I don't really give out how I drafted. I'm asked to keep those until the magazine comes out. But it's always in time for the beach and the July 4th weekend season. And then they kind of come out every 10 days after that until about early August.
Nice, nice. I'm definitely looking forward to checking that out, and we'll get more into some of your other ways to follow you in a bit, but let's get into these Patriots. I think it's only appropriate we start here. We are 100 days from the kickoff to the NFL season, and our first primer here on the Get Sports Info podcast, the AFC East, and here we are talking about the team that will be playing 100 days from now as they hoist the Vince Lombardi Trophy, the New England Patriots, taking on the Kansas City Chiefs to start off the season. And, I mean, it has to start with the Super Bowl MVP when we talk in fantasy. Tom Brady here continuing to get it done, John, continuing to get it done. I mean, Father Time is undefeated. The question is when will he rear his head? Do you still think Brady can perform at the level we saw a year ago? Where's he fall at in your ranks?
You know, I'm on the Tom Brady bandwagon. I'm not a New England Patriots fan. But look, I have him at number three right now amongst my quarterback rankings. I mean, it's just so impressive. I'm so old, Dan. I drafted Brady as my starting quarterback in 2002. Nice. I mean, and people thought I was crazy.
Oh, dude, you're not old. I mean, I was in my 12th season of fantasy at that point, dude. You're making me feel old now.
That might have been my 12th
or 13th.
I was
pissed when Bledsoe went to the Patriots to begin with.
And I remember, look, he won the Super Bowl. He's young, you know, and then he was good that year. And you look at the numbers now, 3,700 yards and 28 touchdowns, and they're a little bit pedestrian. But you got to think of how different the league was in 2002, and 28 touchdowns was a nice season by a quarterback. But look, at last year he played 12 games, threw 28 touchdowns. The least number of touchdowns he plays when he's in a full season. If you look at the last 7 times he's played a full season, his lowest is 25. His lowest is 3,900 yards passing. I think he easily throws 33 or more touchdowns this year for well over 4,000 yards. I have him at number three. There's just too much talent around him on that franchise for him not to be successful.
Yeah, I agree with you about the talent. They've added more talent than ever before. I mean, they are loaded up with what they've done this offseason for skill players, especially weapons to get the ball to Brady. Now, while that talent may be, we'll get into some of those other guys in a little bit here, but for Brady's standpoint, that's a good thing. And I'm with you. I've actually got him a step higher. I got him at number two. You could argue a couple guys there at the top, but I'm with you in the sense that I expect it to keep on rolling, at least for 2017. Part of that, though, could also have to do with the health of Rob Gronkowski. Gronk, And John, I've never talked too much to you even on Twitter about it, but I do have a, I'm not a Patriots fan either, but I do have a Gronk crush. The dude's like my favorite football player. I'm not even talking fantasy. I'm just talking about the quintessential football. I love Gronk, and I actually traded him away in my Dynasty League this year. Well, we have contracts and stuff, so I only had one more year of him, and I got a nice package. But the point is, with Gronk, here he is coming off this back surgery. It was a full go here in OTAs. It's looking promising. You know, he's going to be ready for the bulk of it. But the durability concerns only growing. These injuries mounting. The high price of Gronk has already made him a guy that I don't target a lot in my redraft leagues. And this year I probably won't again. But at what point in the draft would he have to get to before I'd feel comfortable pulling the triggers? What I'd like to ask myself. And I'd like to ask you, where are you putting Gronk at before you take him actually in your draft?
Now, I love Gronk also, but when it comes to putting together my fantasy football teams, in the last two seasons, I have not really had any shares of Gronkowski. And the reason why is the cost to me. Now, this year I've already done two drafts for magazines, and I've done four mock drafts, and I have not gotten any shares of Gronkowski.
Me either.
He's going either in the late second or early third. With the injury history and the age, I mean, this is a big man, 6'6", 265 pounds. He is a physical player, just a fantastic tight end. Might be the best I've ever seen when he's healthy and at the top of his game. But I'm not willing to pay for that market share at that price for Rob Gronkowski. I have him ranked high. I understand why someone likes him. But whenever I have gone that high on a tight end, my receivers and running backs suffer too bad. And I don't like to do that at the tight end position.
I will say this. In a draft, I am not ending up with him in redraft leagues because he's not going to get there at the very back end of round three, round four, when I'd be willing to take a chance. Here's the thing. I mean, a guy like me, you know, I'm sure you play in a lot of, you know, once you get into the double-digit leagues, I try to get exposure to stud players because, you know, I might not have 10 shares of Gronk, but, you know, as I get to my 10th team, I might take a Gronk team just for shits and giggles, if you will. But at the end of the day, with Gronk, to me, in an auction-style format, I'm not afraid to pay up a little bit because, you know, you're going to get those values later. In a straight-up draft, the price is set in stone to where I feel like in an auction, I mean, I'm not going to go crazy on the guy, but I'm more likely to get involved in the bidding of him there with confidence that, you know, I'll fill up those other positions in my bench with some great value dollar players later. So I'm not avoiding him. It's just my philosophy of drafting doesn't lead me to a tight end. And it's not just, I mean, a tight end period early is really against the grain for me at this point, at least as we sit here today. I think the running back situation's another one that's problematic for fantasy owners here in New England. I mean, you get the addition of Mike Gillisley. I was sort of liking what they were looking at with Rex Burkhead there, paying him and fitting into that style. Then they bring in Gillisley, who leapfrogs Burkhead, I think we all would agree. James White should have won the Super Bowl MVP. Clearly the passing down back. They're going to keep Deion Lewis around for God only knows what. I mean, this is like potentially the worst nightmare ever to me. I mean, we always talk about Bill Belichick and fantasy running backs, but like this year is disaster written all over it. Are you touching it, or how are you approaching the New England backfield?
So I've been looking at this a lot because I had to do the rankings. And my final decision was I decided to put Mike Gillisley at number 25 overall amongst my running backs. And what I did is I needed to look at some film. I watched him with the Bills. You know, he averaged 5.7 yards a carry the last two seasons in Buffalo. He scored 8 rushing touchdowns last year. Now, we know LeGarrette Blount left the organization, and he took with him 19 touchdowns. Someone is going to get those touchdowns. Now, they have a lot of talent at wide receiver, and if Gronk could play for 16 games, we know some of those are going to be dispersed amongst the other players on the team. But if the Patriots are going to pound the ball in the red zone, especially within the 5-yard line, I believe Gillisley is going to be that guy. Look, he is kind of a jack of all trades. You know, he's really pretty good at everything. And what I've come to the conclusion is I'm not smarter than the New England Patriots coaching staff or their scouting department. I'm now just going to look it. They saw something in the former Bill that they like a lot. And they've been very successful on acquiring these players who are either perceived to be over the hill, Corey Dillon, Randy Moss, or perceived to be undervalued, Wes Welker or LeGarrette Blount, and they've been immensely popular.
Deion Lewis, for that matter.
Yeah, Deion Lewis. You're right. So I'm going to go with Gillisley. He's coming at a good price right now. I mean, looking at ADP and looking where my drafts are, you can get him in the 7th or 8th round. So I think the value is there.
Would you rather have him or the former Patriot, LeGarrette Blount, who's now with Philadelphia? Because that's where I'm looking at. First of all, I'm with you. Gillisley's the guy of the backfield I want. I mean, if I wanted somebody, and I agree with you that the price is right. But at the end of the day, in my rankings, I'm a shade lower than the expert consensus right now. I've got Gillisley at 30, to where he's been falling a couple spots higher than that in the trend. But I will say straight up, in a standard league, maybe even in a half-point PPR, I favor Blount. I got him just a notch ahead of Gillisley, which is interesting.
I like Blount a lot, and his ADP is ridiculously low right now. And the Eagles run the football a lot more than people believe they do. You know, they think of the Eagles and Andy Reid as a passing offense, you know, the Andy Reid system. But Reid runs the football, and the Eagles are going to run the football. I like Blount. I have him a little below Gillisley, but if you're talking about cost, Blount might come at a better cost with the exact same numbers by the end of the year.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. I think James White offers a little value in PPR league. Certainly a guy I'm willing to take a chance on my bench, because I do believe that he earned last year that this is their passing down back, and I think his role will stay in there. You know, it's going to be hit or miss. This is a guy that's a flex option at best. But I definitely think that there's value there. Deion Lewis, no thanks. Rex Burkhead in a deeper league, I'll take a stab with the Rex Burkhead too, because they gave him some ridiculous money. I think that he could work his way in the mix. And if something were to happen to Gillisley, I think he'd actually be the guy that would step up and do a lot of the early down work. So he's maybe a late stab. I've thrown some darts at him in the last couple rounds of some MFL 10s here, but definitely keep your eyes on that. Let's transition to the passing game, or the receivers, I should say, and finish up the Patriots with Brandon Cooks, probably one of the biggest trades of the offseason from a fantasy perspective. Here's a receiver that has come on with some decent upside here early in his career with the Saints. He finds a new home in New England. I do like Cooks. I do think from a football perspective, him on the field stretching things out is a big plus for this offense. It's going to have a very positive effect. Once again, though, I'm a little bit beneath the industry. I got to be honest. I got in Cooks right now. Definitely as a guy I view as a solid wide receiver two. I just don't think he's got the wide receiver one upside. I've actually got him hovering around 20 in my ranks, which is a bit lower than some. But I just think it's going to be up and down a little bit with Cooks. What do you think, John?
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I have Cooks right now number 16 on my board. And I don't think necessarily going to New England is a massive upgrade in targets or opportunities as opposed to the Saints. I also worry about those home and away splits that he had in New Orleans. Now, he was better last year than he was earlier in his career. But is he going to be able to perform in New England in that weather on grass? I have a little concern, so I've dropped them lower than some people. I think his price tag is too high. I've actually been investing in Julian Edelman. I'm getting Julian Edelman in round 7 or 8. I think he's wildly undervalued. And if you want a piece of that New England passing game, I think it's a better price with Edelman.
Dan Claskins, John Lobb here. We are talking AFC East on episode 6 of the Get Sports Info podcast. And let's transition over to some of these other teams. I think the Patriots, obviously, probably the deepest fantasy discussions of all the teams in terms of value and worth, but still value to be had elsewhere in the division. Let's start in Buffalo. And, you know, it's pretty crazy to think about it, but, I mean, man, Shady McCoy, here's a guy that really was a stud, had a nice little run. Injury sort of gave him at a value last season. He's come out and reemerged himself. I mean, after you go off those big three off the board, I mean, we all would agree in some order, you're going to have David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Ezekiel Elliott probably as your top three running backs. But more and more people, including myself, that got McCoy nestled in at number four. And, you know, what's your take on Shady? I mean, health obviously probably growing concern here as he inches towards 30 years old. There is talk with new offensive coordinator Rick Dennison now calling the shots there in that Buffalo offense. McCoy going to see some increased work in that passing game. So that makes my ears go up a little bit. Certainly like to see that with his fantasy value. Is McCoy your number four running back? And do you think that, you know, there still is room for him to expand upon last year's numbers?
I do think there's a little bit of room, maybe in the passing game. I had read the same bit of news, but he did have 57 targets last year, and he had 50 receptions. So yeah, I wonder.
It wasn't like he was not productive at all there.
Exactly. So is he going to go up to 70 targets?
You know, the other place I think he can rise to is on the touchdowns, because Gillislee was stealing a lot of those last year, and really over the past couple years, I was a McCoy heavily invested a couple years ago. I can't tell you how many times I saw him get plugged at the goal line and then go out, and the next guy come in and get the touchdown. So,
I have him in, to go back, I have him at number five. But, I mean, he's definitely a first-round pick. If you're more of a conservative fantasy owner or drafter, I think you go with McCoy. I sometimes roll the dice a little bit more. I think you're going to get very good, productive numbers. I have him at number five, first-round pick.
Yeah, I think we all would agree, a nice first-round selection. Tyrod Taylor at quarterback, I mean, what's his ceiling? We talk about ceilings. I mean, this guy, from an NFL standpoint, it's like, ugh. You know, I'm not so sure that the Bills can get to where they want to go with him under center, but I think a fantasy football team certainly can if he could stay healthy.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big fan of Tyrod Taylor from a fantasy standpoint. You know, I don't know, maybe they could get to an AFC championship game. I don't know if he could take them to the Super Bowl, but then you look at the rest of that Buffalo roster. I don't know if they're capable of that by themselves or with the talent they have, but look at, he had 6 rushing touchdowns last year, 580 yards rushing, 17 passing. You know, he's coming at a very good price. I have him at number 20 on my board. He's about there in ADP. If you are one of those people who wait on a quarterback, you could definitely grab him. I think Zay Jones is an upgrade for him. If Sammy Watkins returns, I mean, if you looked in fairness to Taylor, he has not had very much talent around him, and he's been a productive fantasy player. So I could see all of those numbers inching up maybe 10 or 15% if everyone stays on the field for Buffalo this year.
Sammy Watkins, that's a big if for him. I mean, it was pretty interesting to me that after the team invested so much, really went after him so high in the draft, moved, you know, did what it took to get him, and then not even to extend him, I think speaks of volumes. This guy has been one of those just head scratchers for me. I mean, every time you think you can get excited about him, he burns you. I mean, I don't know. Sammy Watkins is a guy that I'm certainly going to take. I mean, I think he's valued at where he's valued. But it's like, man, I sort of feel good when I don't end up with him. I've got him at 19, once again, a few spots lower here in the expert consensus rankings. But I'm telling you, John, it's not when he comes up to him on the board that I'm feeling all that great about going after him. Maybe I've just been burned too many times. I don't know. Am I wrong here?
Absolutely not. I actually have him ranked number 21. So I guess I'm below the consensus also. And here's why. Maybe I'm Charlie Brown and he's Lucy, and he pulled the football out from under me when I'm kicking last year. And, you know, I got him in like 4 leagues in the 3rd round. And I was so excited last summer. I'm like, look it, I know he's fallen. There's injury news. You know, let me grab him, the upside. So maybe I feel a little bit burned, but something tells me, if the Bills didn't extend the contract of Watkins, what does that say about his long-term prospects or even the short-term with the foot injury? You know, that's why I'm down on him at number 21. He'd have to fall to the 5th round for me to draft him again. I'm not overly interested at this point.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, if this was the Browns that didn't re-sign him, maybe I'd be thinking there's actually a chance he's going to be like the next big stud. But, you know, we are talking about a different team here. Not really a lot else to get excited about here on Buffalo. I am keeping my eyes on the backup to McCoy. We mentioned his age, Jonathan Williams. Right now, currently that guy in the role. McGillisley leaving, if McCoy would go down, Jonathan Williams become very fantasy relevant very quickly. This is only a second year back, so I'm anxious to see what he does over the summer. I think we sort of hit on Zay Jones and his arrival, what that's going to mean. Really, none of the other receivers. I mean, this is an offense lacking weapons. Charles Clay's a little bit banged up. They've kicked the tires around on bringing in another veteran tight end behind him, but it hasn't happened as of yet. This would be a good spot maybe for a Gary Barnage or take a role on one of these veterans hanging out there, but Buffalo, I think we've hit on the high points there. Let's cruise along to the Miami Dolphins, and this is a team that's sort of changing identities for sure. It looked like they were going to go down there and really just build this thing around Tannehill, but sounds more and more to me, John, like Jay Ajayi is going to be the focal point of this offense in 2017, and I know I wasn't buying in early on this guy, but I got to tell you, I mean, I definitely think he's a solid RB1. I know some others around there are a little less optimistic, but I've been gobbling him up when he's there after I go with a receiver late in round one. I've been picking at the back end of round one, it seems like, and all this stuff, and it's like, man, I keep getting Ajayi as my RB1 at the beginning of round two on the back end of a receiver, and I'm really liking it.
Dan, we must have a little bit of simpatico because I got Ajayi ranked number 6th. I had him number 3.
It's coming exactly out of, where I got him. So
yeah, and you know, I had Ajayi coming number 3 in my pre-draft rankings behind Todd Gurley and Melvin Gordon, and I thought there was a significant gap. I thought Gurley and Gordon were much better prospects. But look, I've been getting Jay Ajayi in all three of my five drafts so far. I'm all in. Look, I understand that he got the majority of his carries in 3 big games. I got that, but look, they have 3 number 1 draft picks on that offensive line. That offensive line is better than people think. And look, Adam Gase has been very good from no Sean Moreno to the Bears at running the football and getting productivity. I don't know why he did not take Ajayi to Seattle in that opening game. But when they finally decided to put Ajayi in the game, and I kind of know why he didn't take him. I understand that. What I mean is it seems strange looking how good Ajayi is now. But I'm all in on him. If you can get him in the second round, I think you've hit gold with him this year.
Like I said, I'm loving getting him on the back end of A.J. Green. And, I kid you not. I've been in, in the PFF, we're doing a 16 team right now. So actually, I picked 15th. But that's like the first time I haven't picked 8th or 9th in any of my other drafts since the drafts. I've done a couple MFL 10s, another mock for another site. And it's like, oh, man, I'm sick of this spot. Get me in the top 5, will you? I'll take a Jay Ajayi there. I think Damian Williams, another guy, interesting, deep league stab. I think he'll have a role, and especially if Ajayi were to go down. I mean, there is a history of the knee issues there, which I'm not going to say aren't a concern, just not one that I'm focusing on. At the receiver, I mean, Jarvis Landry, this guy's PPR gold. I think he's pretty much earned his way into the top 25 on just about everybody's list, and rightfully so, but I'll tell you what, there's a couple other younger receivers on this depth chart. They're ones that I've been targeting in the mid to later rounds. I think Devontae Parker has a potential still to mount to something. I know some are giving up on him. I'm not one. I really like Kenny Stills. I just got him in my MFL 10 today, I believe, in the 17th round. Or, 16th round. I was like, are you kidding? Kenny Stills is still out there. So what do you make of this passing game? There are 3 receivers. You got Julius Thomas now in at tight end. You know, are there pieces of that you think will give some owners some good value?
I do. No, I agree. If you want Jarvis Landry, and I've taken him twice so far, you pretty much have to go, especially in PPR. He's a third round pick, and you're going to get your return. You know, I don't think he's going to give you a huge upside, but you're getting what you pay for. So I like Jarvis Landry. I agree with you totally. Now, Parker is one of those interesting guys. I haven't gotten him, even though I've targeted him and he's in my queue. It just seems like there's someone in the draft who likes Parker a little bit more than I do. You know, he's kind of in that range of players
he's the upside play, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. And there's a lot of guys I like. I have Parker at number 47. But I have him, if it was a tier, from Josh Doctson, Breshad Perriman, Devontae Parker, Corey Coleman, John Brown. I like all of those guys. I'm very comfortable getting any one of those guys in a tier, and basically I've been getting the last one remaining on the board, you know, which tends to be Doctson or Perriman. Now, if Parker outscores them, I would not be surprised, but vice versa is also true. But I do like Parker's upside, and if you're in a best ball, like, MFL 10s, Parker might hit you big 3 or 4 games with those long touchdowns. I do like Parker. Kenny Stills, isn't MFL 10s or 20 rounds, right? I always forget. I do too many.
There's right? 20 rounds.
There you go. If you're in round 20 and you're looking for that guy who might get you 2 18-point games a year, Kenny Stills can do that for you.
Kenny Stills was a player that drew a lot of interest in NFL free agency. I mean, he there was a lot of buzz around him in a lot of places. I definitely like Parker and all those other receivers you name above him, but I put Stills on the back end of that range. I've got Stills currently in my top 50 right there with Perriman. But, you know, I'm looking for upside guys there. And I think with Parker's struggles, well documented, Leonte Carew, another player now entering his second season, sort of yet to really come in, you know, really slow in his development in this offense. They're looking for playmakers, and I think that's why they really overpaid to keep Stills in the mix here, because they're not necessarily sold on Devontae Parker is ever going to come to, or Carew, or, you know, I mean, so it's pretty much Landry, and after that, I don't know. Thomas, I mean, I'm not getting my hopes up, but if you carry two tight ends, if you actually carry two tight ends, if your roster's deep enough for two tight ends, this is a guy that you can do worse as a tight end, too. I mean, maybe he can resurrect something there. I mean, the price on him is next to nothing. So, I'm not going to say I won't have any shares. Let's just put it that way, because I am in some deep leagues, and we do carry 2-3 tight ends, and Thomas is a guy that in that range – as a guy not growing in the top 20 right now in a lot of places would, I think, could get into the top 20. But
I agree. I have Thomas at number 15, and I think he's definitely worth a flyer if you have a large, like, 20-man roster and you want to put two tight ends. I think Thomas is worth it because his best seasons came under Gase. Granted, they had Peyton Manning throwing the football, but I do think there's potential there.
Yeah, so let's dive in quickly to the Jets and wrap it up here. Jets, 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 man. We love them. I do love one player on the team. I do. I loved him last year, and it eventually paid off. But Bilal Powell, it appears, is going to unseat Forte here as this team's lead back. And because the D is still really rebuilding here, this team's going to be trailing in a lot of situations. Bilal Powell's ability to catch the ball out of the backfield. I am very bullish on Bilal Powell. I was bullish last year, and it actually worked. And when you look at the final numbers, I know a lot of that came with injuries, but that's why I was so bullish. Because Forte, I mean, what's this guy got left? I mean, seriously. I mean, if he wasn't on any other team, he wouldn't even be making the roster. Just because the Jets suck so bad, the guy's even in the league. You know, nothing against Forte. It's just he sort of passed his prime. But, dude, I've got Bilal Powell at number 17 in my PPR ranks at running back. And I just drafted him accordingly in our 16-team Pro Football Focus League. First mock draft with PFF, dude. I pulled the trigger on Bilal Powell there. It was pick 315. So I guess that was more like almost fifth round of a 12-team league.
You know, Dan, I'm telling you, this is scary because I have Bilal Powell at 16 on my rankings in PPR.
Dude, leagues. it's like we're rankings brothers from another mother.
Yeah, I mean, but look at Bilal Powell finished fourth amongst running backs with 58 receptions, and he wasn't even on the field for the majority of the time. And in the first 6 games, he was barely on the field. You know, all those numbers came at the end. He looks old, but you got to look deeper. He doesn't have a lot of NFL carries. You know, the card says he's 28, But the numbers say he's 23. He's only had 533 carries. So he's only got about two seasons worth of usage on those legs. And in the last 2 years, let me see, he got 115 receptions. I agree with you. If you want a Jet, that's a whole nother story. The only guy worth investing in right now is Powell.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess Decker has some value, but count me on the side that just don't think that this guy's going to get it done as a wide receiver. One, he never really has shown it when given the opportunity. And Josh McCown, I mean, sadly it is an improvement, but between that line and you know his durability and his age, I mean, McCown, the over-under on him as game, before he's not the starter for one reason or the other is like 3.5 games, I think. So, yeah, he might be the starter, but it would be Bryce Petty time once he breaks his first three ribs and, you know, he'll be back to Decker mountain of nothing. I am interested a little bit in our Darius Stewart in some dynasty formats. I think he has some upside. Quincy Enunwa, a guy that came on the scene a little bit last year but faded down the stretch. I'm seeing him getting drafted real late in some places, and I guess I'm okay with it. I'm probably not going to have a lot of shares myself.
Well, if I'm going to invest in wide receivers, I got to have a quarterback. And I don't know what the Jets, what their plan is or what they're doing right now. Other than
tanking.
I don't
know if they know what the plan is.
Dan, they're clearly pulling the 76ers. Let the process and let's tank. Because I'm trying to be nice here, right? McCown is not going to play more than 3.5 games. He can't. There's no reason for us to believe a journeyman who's 37 is going to play more than 3 games. So then what do you do? Look, I was down on Christian Hackenberg before the draft. I thought he was the emperor with no clothes. I could not understand how anyone had that player that highly ranked. His only good season was as a freshman. And that was with Bill O'Brien and Allen Robinson on the team. I saw him play at Penn State at least 7 times, not live, on television. I thought he was terrible. Then he went to the combine. The kid could not, he has no accuracy. He's shown that in college. Look it, I understand he's got size. He is not an NFL quarterback. Bryce Petty, oh my God. I mean, I can't take a Jet receiver because I literally don't think there's a quarterback who can get them the football. I mean, it's bad in New York right now.
All right, so that's pretty much the look at the Jets. Not a lot to get excited about there as we wrap up the AFC East. Next week, we'll dive into the NFC North on episode number 7. But, man, the East, a good place to start. And I appreciate, John, you for joining us here in this week's Friends in Fantasy segment, talking a little AFC East. That's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Check it out anytime at GetSportsInfo.com. I'm Dan Klaskins. We'll be back next time with our NFC North primer as we continue. Thanks for listening to the Get Sports Info podcast.